Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have this on the show, Abhishek Dadu and Dushyant Khare, and they are the co-founders of FewSense. Hi, Abhishek and Dushyant, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Salman. Thanks for having us.
Hey, Salman. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm definitely excited for this particular episode. And I want to start by talking about your background. Can you share your professional and personal background? And we can start with Dushyant first.
Sure. So overall, I've worked for about 20 plus years. But before FewSense, I was most recently with Google for 13 years, looking after Google's strategic partnerships in India and Southeast Asia. And you can imagine 13 years ago, Google was a slightly different beast, much smaller, especially in Asia. And so I managed all kinds of partnerships. But the common thread across the 13 years was working with digital publishers in the region, helping them grow their revenue through Google's ad business, whether it's the Google ad technology or the Google ad demand. So I'm very, very intimately familiar with how digital publishers make money and what their challenges are. And this is actually what gets me super excited about FewSense. And then August of last year, I called it quits at Google. Initially, the thought was that I would, advise a few startups. One of the first startups I started advising very early on was FewSense. And literally in 2 months' time, I was sitting in the founder's chair.
Oh, nice, nice. That's interesting. Abhishek?
So my background is I've been largely corporate for about 10 years, both in the US and then in Singapore. And then a couple of years ago, I branched out to launch an ad tech business called Chauffeur, which was acquired by a company called Affle, which is an Indian company, an ad network. So this ad tech Chauffeur was acquired in 2019, and subsequently Affle went public in India. But in 2020, I decided to call it quits and launch FewSense. And this time to solve the problem of content monetization, largely because personally I was done subscribing to multiple publishers. As a user, I have taken my subscriptions with the ones where I am very loyal, but then I have a casual intent to read a lot more and to listen to a lot more podcasts, etc. But I could not be subscribing everywhere. And that led me down the rabbit hole to figure out why this kind of solution has not existed before. And the problem was large enough to go after and solve it, and solve both the consumer problem and as well as the publisher's incremental monetization problem. So yeah, we got started in April last year to build the software solution. And then in August, we came up with the first publisher who started using our service and is doing quite well on our platform.
So can you talk about what kind of content creators can benefit from this, and how, and also about how your product works? But what kind of content creators? Is it bloggers? Is it people who make videos? Is it people who write, let's say, articles or news articles, journalists? So what kind of content creators, and how does the software work?
So it is an embedded solution. The simplest analogy is just like how PayPal can be embedded on an e-commerce site. FewSense can be embedded on any digital goods site or mobile app. So the goods could come in the form of text content, audio content, video, or even report or photograph downloads. So any digital good, we can help monetize that through our embedded plugin, that sits on the publisher or on the creator's website.
Mm-hmm. So can creators not use PayPal for this, or is there something unique about this which solutions like PayPal might not offer?
So micropayments, Salman, is a different beast. When you talk about a 20 cent or a 30 cent transaction, typically every payment solution has a fixed cost to it, which renders that small transaction unprofitable because of the fixed fees, which means that if we were to do micro transactions, you need the ability to batch all your transactions. And then run it through the payment gateway in one shot so that the fixed fee becomes a small component of the overall transactions. And when you talk about batching transactions, Salman, this concept essentially becomes a wallet. So you are a wallet that is batching a lot of transactions. And the moment you start having a wallet, it becomes a regulated business by the Payment Services Act in every geography. So we are essentially an embedded wallet solution, which is the key difference between any other payment platform.
If I may add, Salman, so yeah, one part is definitely the fintech part, which is quite complex. And I think Abhishek explained it really well. But over and above that, there are other parts to the solution that a regular large payment service provider doesn't provide. So we call ourselves fintech for media. So we're built from the ground up for media. So beyond the fintech part, we provide for the user one single login that they can use to pay 20 cents on one site, you know, $1 to listen to a podcast, 50 cents to watch a video across multiple publishers. So it solves the issue of user convenience, where I as a user don't have to sign up separately for each single publisher or piece of content. So that's one. Two is we give the publisher or the content creator a lot of control. So they can decide which geographies they want to show a few cents in. They can decide what pricing to have for different pieces of article. And essentially we manage the digital rights on their behalf out of the box. So building that digital rights capability is also not simple to do and not a cup of tea of many publishers and creators. And then lastly, we provide a lot of deep analytics. So who is consuming what content at what price from what geography? This data becomes super powerful because then the content creator or publisher can understand what content is being valued at. They can then get a price recommended to them. So the same piece of content may have a higher price in one geography as opposed to another. So these three other pieces, which is the user convenience of login, the publisher control, the analytics, are sit on top of the fintech piece and make up the entire solution that we have.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk about the traction that you've had since inception in terms of like number of content creators or sales or payment processed? Have you had any traction since inception?
Yeah, so we launched in August with our first publisher in Indonesia. That's a tech-based publisher. They write about tech news and startups and such. And since then, we have about 12 or 13 publishers now live on our platform. They are largely between India and Indonesia and Singapore at the moment. But we are very quickly now, we've hired our sales teams in the US and Europe as well. So we are expanding into those geographies as well. Roughly on a monthly basis, we are seeing over 15,000 active users using FewSends today. But you have to remember that for every publisher, we go out and select specific pieces of quality content. So it's not their entire site. It's only specific content, and that too it is only shown to audiences which are non-subscribers or from the non-core geographies of the publisher, because we are positioned as an incremental monetization layer. So there are certain groups of audiences which are very good for subscription, but then there is that group of casual visitors willing to pay for quality content. So the addressable content that is behind Few Cents is fairly small still with those 12 publishers that we have.
And can you talk about your pricing strategy? Do you take a portion of the transaction, or is it like a flat subscription fee? How does it work?
So we work purely on a rev share basis. So there's no upfront cost to the publisher or content creator. It's purely rev share, very similar model to how the ad networks work as well.
And is there like a percentage, like a 3% or 5%, or does it vary?
So the percent varies. The higher the volume that a publisher gives us, the higher the revenue share that goes to the publisher.
Okay, that's interesting. So any kind of content creator can use this, whether it's a blogger, whether it's a podcaster, and whether it's a YouTube video person. This works for everyone?
So the way to look at this, Salman, is we partner with the publisher or the platform or the content creation platform, right? So if it's a large publisher, you know, pick any of your large news publishers or digital magazines, we would partner with them, and then, you know, their content would come behind Few Cents. When it comes to the creator economy, we would be partnering with the platform. So the platforms need to enable it, and then a creator can choose to switch on or switch off Few Cents for their particular piece of content. An example of this is we already have a partnership with Daily Motion, which is a video platform, and they are giving their publishers the option to switch on Few Cents as an additional revenue stream on top of ads, which is their existing business model.
That's interesting. So recently you had a fundraising round that you finished. So can you talk more about your fundraising round? How much did you raise? Who were the investors? And what do you plan to use the funding for?
Yeah, so we raised our seed round at $1.6 million US dollars. And the investors were largely from this region. A good mix of some very credible angels coming from the media industry, but also some seed stage funds and some super angels as well, who are very much part of the Singapore ecosystem, which was important for this business. The way we are going after democratizing access, it is important for us to be positioned as a trusted wallet coming out of Singapore, because Singapore is known for its trusted solutions and brand identity as well. So we made sure that our investor pool has a good mix of funds and some super angels and some angels from media industry as well.
Are you able to disclose the valuation at which you raised?
It's a safe note, Salman. So the valuation is still not decided until the next equity round.
So you plan to have another round sometime this year?
Probably not this year, but very soon or very early next year.
And with the when you take of investment from investors, obviously it comes with its own set of challenges. For example, like you're sharing ownership and future revenue profits, and then you also have like investors who are perhaps involved in the business, and perhaps there might be some reporting requirements. So if you grow the business organically, you keep all the ownership and profits, and you don't have the investment, but you have more ownership and control and that. So did you have to decide between growing the business organically versus having investors? Was that a decision that you had to make, or did you need the funds to develop your software and you thought this is an obvious way to go about that?
So let me take a stab at that, Abhishek. So you need to understand that this business is actually, we always call it a team sport, right? So we have to have a team of people to help us get to more and more publishers, because at the end of the day, the success of this business will be based on a network effect, where the more publishers we have, the more useful it is to users. The more users we have, the more useful it is for publishers. So as Abhishek had mentioned, there's a large portion of our investors who are from the media industry or the adjacent industries, you know, from ad networks to publishing houses themselves to people who consult in the media business. So all of these people are, in fact, you know, part of our team, and they open up doors to their networks to help us expand as well. So the way we looked at it was funding, of course, is important, but even more important than that is the profile of these investors who are from the media space and who open further doors for us, which is super important at this early stage.
Mm-hmm. So previously you mentioned you were working for Google and then you decided to leave your position. So was there a particular reason you made that decision? Because some might say, you know, Google is like the dream company to work for, perhaps, and why would you want to leave? So was there something that motivated you to take the jump?
Oh, I mean, look, Google was amazing. I learned a lot. You know, I was there when some of the more iconic products were launched, like Android and Chrome browser. And just before I joined, YouTube had been acquired, and you know, the industry was wondering whether that was an intelligent acquisition or not. So I've learned a lot, but I think the motivation for me was I wanted to get back to building something from the ground up, which I had some experience in my previous life, and that's what really motivated me to leave Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious with regards to the YouTube acquisition. Was that an intelligent acquisition? Have they been able to get their return on investment? It was an expensive purchase.
Well, all I can say is that, you know, I believe they're doing really well all over the world. I can't comment on the ROI, that you should ask them.
All right, perfect. Yeah, I mean, I do use YouTube, but it's becoming a bit, I would say, ad heavy now. But I guess that's the monetization strategy, is to have those ads.
I mean, like any media platform, this is where we think different business models need to apply. So ads is definitely an important piece. Subscriptions is the other, and we feel that where FewSense plays in, which is in the middle of these two, is a really important additional revenue stream that all media platforms should be exploring.
Mm-hmm. So is there a particular marketing strategy to promote your software to attract partners who implement this on their platform? Have you tried any particular marketing strategies?
We are starting off, Salman. So a lot of this business is based on trust. At the end of the day, the user has to trust FewSense as a payment system for media. And then media houses have to trust FewSense that we can move small amounts of money from anywhere in the world into their local bank account. Right. So we feel that trust is a long-term game. So definitely PR and inbound content marketing is a key part of our strategy. And then in the short term, we believe, and we are starting to see that it becomes viral in its own if the product works well. So for example, when we started out, our first publisher was in Indonesia. And the fact that they are actually doing well and this incremental monetization solution is starting to show results, we are getting a lot of inbound interest from other publishers. Because at the end of the day, the creator community and the publishing community, they talk to each other.
Yeah.
And everyone is looking for that incremental source of revenue, right? So new business models in monetization are evolving every day. And we are one of those options. And we get talked about in those circles. And most of our leads are now starting to come inbound to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you mentioned it's an additional revenue stream for platforms and also the content creators who are using that kind of platforms. So it's definitely a good opportunity. Are there any direct competitors which are offering this solution, or are you the only one in the space?
I wouldn't say we are Einstein's, Salman. I'm sure there are other people who have also thought of it. The more important part is timing to launch this product. If you rewind maybe even 2 years ago, the need for the user to have an unbundling solution was not there because content was super concentrated with a few players. But now as the creator economy is flourishing, quality content is become very, very fragmented. So in reality, the need for unbundling is a very new phenomenon. And because it's a new phenomenon, there are a few players who have done this and we are one of them. But what we see going forward, every month we start to see really strong competitors starting to come out or at least put out a thesis that such a solution is needed. So I'm positive going forward, we will start to see players in the market, some pretty credible players, and hopefully we are one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully. During the pandemic, did you experience any growth or decline in your business? As you know, businesses and industries have been heavily affected, but you're in the online space. Did you experience any growth or decline in this phase?
Actually, pandemic was, it drove the market in some positive directions for us, largely because people started consuming a lot more digitally. And people started consuming content cross-border as well. It was not only that, somebody from India is only looking at Indian content. People started to read outside or listen to podcasts and watch videos from OTTs, etc., from all over the world. So the content consumption lanes, that's how we view our business, right? An Indian consuming content in the US or a US publisher looking at their domestic audience, but then also looking at their Filipino audience. So these are content consumption lanes. Those lanes grew exponentially over COVID. And because of that, the need for unbundling content and providing access very seamlessly across the world to content became even more exaggerated. So in some sense, COVID, pulled more product features out of us and the market drove us in the right direction. But also during COVID, publishers, the largest publishers who were heavily relying on a dominant ad strategy, started to realize that they need to diversify into a reader revenue strategy as well. Right. So from both the publisher side and the consumer side, COVID has accelerated our business and accelerated the trends that were already organically starting to happen.
I see. Well, that's cool. I wanted to learn about your product and it definitely seems like a very, very interesting solution. And it's great that you were able to grow even during the pandemic as well, as you mentioned, because of the trend and whatnot. So that's great. Now both of you are entrepreneurs. So before I end, I want to, you know, ask you about a fun fact about yourself. Any interesting hobbies or interests you have, or any interesting experiences you can share?
Dushyant, you go first.
Now I need to think fast. And I don't know if I'm such an interesting person. I guess, you know, I love music a lot. So I used to be a DJ in a dingy dive bar in New Delhi back in the day. I guess that's the most interesting thing about me.
Abhishek?
Yeah, I mean, I think coming to music, I have a very keen sense for music myself. Although I haven't studied music, but my parents and my family, everybody is into music. So, you know, as an example, when Shofar was acquired by Apple, in the introductory meeting, I actually whistled a whole song because I can whistle music, right? So that was quite interesting. I learned a few things about myself as well. So that's interesting. And other than that, you know, sports is something that I try to stay on top of, especially having spent a fair bit of time in the US. I caught on to, you know, the sports camaraderie that comes with every profession in the US. So mm-hmm. It's become a key part of my life, so much so that I follow about 7 or 8 different sports quite closely, even today. Wow.
That's a big task to follow 7, 8 different sports closely. That's a huge commitment. But I guess it gives you a lot to talk about when you talk to your colleagues or friends, because you know what's happening. And it's likely if they follow sport, they probably follow one of the sports that you follow. So it's you must have something that you can talk and chat. So that's great. Any particular milestones you have for your company for the next 12 to 24 months?
Yes, definitely. The way we look at this business, Salman, is we are a consumer business where we need to provide value to the user, so that they can find a bouquet of content that they can consume because they have the FewSense account. And when what we mean about this bouquet is, let's take for example, there is somebody who likes content in finance or somebody who likes content in sports. So our intent is to build that genre of content across English speaking markets. So what we want to do is, out of the English speaking markets, US, Canada, UK, Australia, India, we want to go after specific genres such as food, sports, finance, health, parenting. These are genres where our research says that people are willing to pay and they like variety in these spaces. And which means that unbundled access to content becomes super powerful for the user, right? So our milestone is to build these genre bouquets around the world.
All right. That's pretty interesting. Well, Abhishek and Dushyant, it has been very nice speaking with you and talking to about your solution and your background. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks Salman.
You're welcome. Good. You wanna share your website? How can people find you?
It's dushyant@fewsense.co or publisher@fewsense.co.
Yeah, and the website URL is fewsense.com.
All right, perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this particular episode and you get a chance to learn about this amazing solution, which can help you monetize your content and collect micropayments. So definitely visit the website and learn more if you're a content creator or a publisher. And thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.